Picture a Claymore mine sitting backward on a battlefield. Instead of protecting the soldiers behind it, the blast would tear through their own ranks. This simple image, front toward enemy, stamped on military explosives, captures everything about how we face life's battles. Navy SEAL Robert O'Neill and Marine Dakota Meyer built their philosophy around this directive. Identify what threatens you, turn toward it completely, and engage with full force. Whether confronting external dangers or internal demons like doubt and fear, the principle remains unchanged. Since its release, their book has become more than a military memoir. It's a blueprint for confronting adversity that resonates far beyond the battlefield. Military training programs reference it regularly, and figures from Dwayne Johnson to Joe Rogan have praised its raw honesty. What makes their message powerful isn't just the dramatic stories of combat, but how battlefield wisdom translates into everyday courage for anyone facing their own personal wars. Rob's childhood in Butte, Montana wasn't the origin story you'd expect for the man who would kill Osama bin Laden. Overlooked by a 90-foot statue and shadowed by a toxic mine pit, Butte was America's most Irish town and a place where people didn't leave. Rob wasn't naturally tough. By his own admission, he got beat up more than he beat others. But he inherited something valuable from his father, humor that could diffuse tension and build connections. Years later, when he brought his SEAL squadron to train in his hometown, they spent days skydiving above Butte and learning horseback riding for mountain operations. Their nights inevitably ended in bar fights at Maloney's, where his technically trained fighters easily handled local tough guys. When they departed, a police officer shook Rob's hand with mixed feelings. "We're really glad you came up, and we're really happy to see you leaving." Dakota's foundation formed on a 350-acre Kentucky farm under Big Mike's guidance. The systematic care of 120 head of cattle became his moral education. Animals depended on him completely, and failure meant death. His prized Holstein cow Tinkerbell taught him his most important lesson. When she struggled with a breech birth and the vet recommended euthanasia, Dakota refused. For 2 months, he used hip huggers and a tractor to help her stand twice daily. At his breaking point, he raced toward her with his rifle to end her suffering, only to watch in shock as she leaped up and ran away, miraculously healed. This experience cemented Dakota's core fear: not being able to be what someone needed me to be when they needed me to be it. At 12, Rob joined his first hunting trip during Montana's antelope season. 2 years later, his first clean shot on a young mule deer buck taught him the gravity of taking a life. The patience, stealth, and precision he learned in Montana would later serve him tracking Al-Qaeda. Dakota's hunting education began with him sleepwalking to deer stands as a small boy, culminating in a perfect shot on an 8-point buck at age 10. At 12, Rob discovered basketball through a VHS tape about Michael Jordan, whose words resonated: "I can never stop working hard. Each day, I feel I have to improve." His father, a former college player, created an intense practice regimen, sinking 20 consecutive free throws before finishing. Their family record escalated from his dad's 91 straight shots to Rob's 105 consecutive baskets. Though Rob knew he'd never reach the NBA, basketball taught him that success comes through grinding repetition. The secret to mastery? Relentless practice of basics. Dribble, spin, bend, release. Same way, every time, with perfect focus. Want to be good? Do it 100 times. Want to be the best? Do it 1,000 times. Then 1,000 more. Dakota found direction through 3 influential men, all named Mike. His buddy Michael Keltner became his partner in reckless adventures inspired by MTV's Jackass. Mike Staton, his high school football teammate, became his first real role model. After trash-talking at a game, Dakota challenged him to box, and Mike knocked him out cold. The most important Mike was Big Mike, his dad, who instilled the stubbornness to push through difficulties. Together, these Mikes taught him to face forward and stare down problems, front toward enemy. After completing Marine boot camp in 2006, Dakota had earned his place in the Brotherhood. In 1995, Rob took a Montana copper mine job. When a coworker mocked his SEAL ambitions, Rob challenged him immediately. Butte's suffocating small-town mentality kept people stuck. After his grades slipped and a breakup left him directionless, seeing two locals transformed by the Marines inspired him to enlist. Flying out in January 1996, he heard the doubters. Nobody leaves Butte to become a SEAL. Years later, after killing Osama bin Laden, he silently answered, "Yes, somebody did that." Dakota's departure followed poor choices. After a brutal beating at the Greene County Fairgrounds, he brought a pain pill to school and joked about selling it. When a Marine recruiter challenged him, saying he couldn't make it, Dakota signed up immediately. Before boot camp, he betrayed Coach Hodges' trust by taking his car keys after being forbidden. His coach's disappointment, "You'll never make it as a Marine," became pivotal. Dakota realized if he couldn't be trusted with keys, he couldn't be trusted with his brothers' lives. During BUDS, Rob faced the chaotic beehive exercise, 180 recruits forced into a crowded pool, creating panic. He found calm by sinking beneath thrashing bodies and swimming to safety. The crucial lesson, fear is natural, but panic is deadly and contagious. Instructors constantly tested composure through drown-proofing, with tied limbs and sabotaged equipment. Everything prepared them for Hell Week, 5 days of near-sleepless chaos, proving they could endure anything. The key? Your body can do far more than you think, but once your mind accepts quitting, you're done. Dakota's journey began at the military entrance processing station in Louisiana. The bus to Paris Island started with teenage bravado, but ended in terrified silence as drill instructors stormed aboard. Boot camp featured kill hats who created stress and drill hats like Sergeant Brady who actually taught. During pugil stick training, Dakota knocked out his opponent's mouthpiece, and Brady promised a phone call home. That night, excited for a friendly voice, he was ordered to stick his head out a window and yell "home" repeatedly. The cruel lesson? Nothing's guaranteed, regardless of promises. At graduation, when Brady falsely claimed Dakota's dad hadn't shown, Dakota didn't fall for it. He grasped the deeper lesson. They all arrived together and graduated together. No special treatment. Rob's first mission guarding U.S. diplomats in Albania against a bin Laden threat foreshadowed what would make him famous. Years later, in Iraq during summer 2007, Rob ran nightly kill missions. One daylight hunt for a top IED maker became a hellish chase through Baghdad's apocalyptic landscape. 120-degree heat, water shortages, ruptured sewers. After pursuing the bomb maker across a bridge to a fourth location, his team leader called it off. Bridges were prime IED targets. This felt like a trap. His guys were furious. Later in the weight room, still complaining, Rob asked them the bomb maker's name. They couldn't remember. Then he asked about their kids' names, making his point clear. Following rules keeps us alive to see our families. Dakota faced worse in Afghanistan's Ganjgal Valley. After a 7-hour firefight, 4 men on his team were killed, a 5th dying later. After returning with their bodies and laying flags over them, an officer yelled at him to wash up before walking on base, the same command structure whose decisions had contributed to the ambush. Hours before, Dakota had defied orders to remain in position, half a mile from the firefight. Despite being denied permission to enter with truck-mounted grenade launchers, while his team screamed over the radio, Dakota defied direct orders. It took over 5 hours to find their bodies in a trench, stripped of equipment. Dakota doesn't disrespect authority, but questions those who wield it wrongly. That day, commanders tied themselves in knots following rules while my teammates were cut to pieces. Knowing when to follow orders and when to break them separates warriors who survive from those who become statistics. Rob didn't see Osama bin Laden right away as he crept up to the third floor of the compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. In the eerie amber glow of his night vision goggles, he followed his point man up the stairs. After his point man fired at movement behind a curtain and pushed aside 2 screaming women, Rob pivoted through an open doorway. There stood bin Laden, taller, leaner, older, and grayer than expected. Rob shot him twice over his wife's shoulder, one shot splitting open his head. Yet among all those Rob killed, only one face haunts him daily. In Bakuba in 2007, he found a sleeping couple with an AK-47 beside the man. When he woke and reached for the weapon, Rob shot him in the face. His wife woke to find her husband's ruined face beside her, and she screamed. "That's the guy I think about every night, wondering if I could have disarmed him without killing him. In a different time and place, we might have shared coffee as friends." Dakota experienced an even more intimate encounter during the Ganjgal Valley battle. After finding his friend Dad Ali's body, he was attacked by a Taliban fighter who tried to strangle him. Dakota wrestled him onto his back, found a baseball-sized rock, and began smashing it against the man's head. After 6 hits, they made eye contact. The world went silent. I didn't see hate or anger or fear in his eyes. I saw resignation. He knew he would never see his family again. Then the world flashed back on, and Dakota continued. "These moments, when you see the humanity in someone you're killing, carry a weight that never lifts." After the bin Laden raid, Rob's life changed instantly. As the Chinook flew toward Afghanistan, a SEAL who'd saved Captain Phillips offered him Copenhagen. "Now you know what it's like to be a hero." The expected brotherhood among the 28 operators dissolved into resentment. Within a week, they met President Obama at Fort Campbell, presenting him with an American flag from bin Laden's house. When Biden suggested hanging it in his presidential library, Obama replied, "Fuck that, this is going over my bed." Dakota's recognition was more painful. In August 2011, a Marine colonel informed him he'd received the Medal of Honor. Dakota refused. "I don't want it. I don't deserve it." His guilt over teammates killed at Ganjgal consumed him. He eventually agreed if the dead members of Team Monty received graveside ceremonies simultaneously. His life spiraled. He started drinking at 5 a.m. to survive interviews and stood sweating and drunk at the ceremony. Now, the medal belongs to his daughter, Sailor Grace, who wears it to Chili's. "I hate the medal and every aspect of it. I don't want to be known as anything other than a dad." After leaving the SEALs without a 20-year pension, Rob lost even his kids' health insurance. His first civilian job came through a speaking bureau. Years later, Rob found healing through experimental PTSD therapy with MDMA under therapeutic supervision. For 5 hours, he replayed the terrible things he'd seen and done. When he opened his eyes, he felt deep peace. Weeks later, slicing a golf ball into the woods, instead of raging, he simply said, "Well, that was unfortunate." Dakota's healing began with Army psychologist Captain Katie Kopp. They made a deal to decide with ping pong. If he won, he stayed. If she won, he went home. She beat him badly. After discharge, Dakota spiraled into drinking and fighting. He attempted suicide, putting his Glock to his head and pulling the trigger, not knowing someone had unloaded it. Everything changed when his daughter, Sailor Grace, was born. Dakota found purpose as an EMT and firefighter with Travis County Fire and Rescue. "It's better than any job I had in the Marines because we're truly helping people and changing lives." At Krause Springs, he rescued a diver who'd hit his head. As they left, the man called out to thank him. "What made this perfect was that I helped him based solely on my training and performance, not because of my past or the medal around my neck." Rob found love with Jessica, who became his rock, always there for him, best friends with his daughters, and buddies with Dakota. While he'd lost the camaraderie he expected after leaving the SEALs, he'd rediscovered the importance of his oldest relationships. Dakota similarly rebuilt his circle after treatment, eliminating dead weight, people who leached off him or created stress. His new standard became simple. "I surround myself with people who are better than me, who I can aspire to be like." The Claymore principle that began their story, front toward enemy, embodies their entire philosophy. Face your challenges directly. Keep your instructions simple. Whether the enemy is a physical threat or an internal demon like doubt, regret, or fear, the way forward remains the same. Identify your target, face it squarely, and move toward it with purpose. Turn toward what frightens you. Build a circle of people who make you better. Find ways to serve others. Your claymore is already in your hands. All that's left is to aim it in the right direction.